grace, mercy, and peace to you on this glorious Easter morning. Amen. Most of us during our lifetimes have encountered a bully. We've come across at least one bully sometime between our grade school and our high school years. In fact, study shows that about 10% of us have been bullied at some point. Or else, you may have been the bully yourself. In reality, the percentage of those bullied must be much higher, since children are not very forthcoming about reporting these unpleasant encounters. We do know that those who are bullied during childhood often carry those painful scars into adulthood. Bullying has been around as long as civilization, but I think our society is becoming more aware of the harmful psychological side effects. We all know this, but bullies pick on others to gain power, to get their way, and to feel important. A bully may say mean things about his victim. He may take his possessions. He may humiliate him in front of his peer group. Or he may intentionally alienate him from the in crowd. Bullies frequently threaten others in order to get them to do things against their will. Bullies are all about power and control. And so they characteristically use fear and intimidation to maintain that power and control. A bully typically surrounds himself with a group of peers who are impressed by his aggressive behaviors and mistake it as strength. And though they themselves would probably never bully anyone, they seem to enjoy watching his harassment of others. We know bullies pick out weaker, more vulnerable people and repeatedly harass those same individuals. For the bully loves to dominate and then to treat those he dominates without compassion. He seems to find some sort of sadistic pleasure in watching his victim's fearful reaction to his intimidation. Now, if we're honest about it, and if we think about it, most of us have experienced some kind of bullying, even possibly as adults. Sometimes in the workplace, this intimidation may come from an employer or an employee. Bullying may also come from a spouse or a sibling or an acquaintance or a stranger. Whether as a child or as an adult, we all know that being bullied is miserable when we're forced to endure it. It erodes self-confidence. It embitters our lives. It silences its victims. And it creates lasting anxieties in those who have been pushed around. Now, at this moment, I suppose you're asking, what does this have to do with us? And what does any of this have to do with Easter? And I will tell you everything. The Bible says that Jesus shared in our humanity, that by his death, he might destroy the one who holds the power over death, that is the devil, and free those of us who all our lifetimes had been held in slavery by our fears of death. And so here Scripture declares our victory over death and the devil, and for that matter, all bullies. Without the bright Easter proclamation that he is risen, the devil could successfully keep us in despair by using the fear of death to bully us throughout our lifetimes. But by his death, Jesus has forever freed us from our sins and from fears of the judgment, which is what the devil used at one time to intimidate us. The devil was once able to terrify us with tormented thoughts of our standing guilty before God at the judgment because of our sins. But now, by his death and resurrection, Jesus has freed those of us who otherwise would find ourselves being bullied by the devil because we fear death. Folks, when it comes to planet Earth, there are no two bigger bullies on the block than death and the devil. If you don't know about Jesus, if you don't know about the power of his death and resurrection, then death is pretty much the king of the hill, and he can pick on you at will. Except for our risen Lord, there is no one greater than death. Death comes to us all because we have all sinned. Oh, someone may cheat death for a little while. They may live through a near-fatal car accident. They may survive a serious heart attack. But no one ultimately beats death. No matter how young you are, or how old, or how healthy you feel, or how safe you try to make your life, death controls our lives. Death seems to snatch up the young and the old arbitrarily and inexplicably at any age. And you know it, every time someone in your age group dies, whether their death is caused by an accident or a disease or a crime or a war, you and I must come face to face with our own mortality. Yes, sir, death is a bully, and he loves to bully you. Though we rarely talk about it after we reach a certain age, birthdays aren't quite what they used to, because in the back of our minds, those birthdays signal that we are just another year closer to the grave. And no matter how good life is right now, we know this. We know that because of death, it cannot remain as it is. For eventually, death will claim us and those we love. Death means that everything, no matter how good, must eventually come to an end. If you don't have faith in Christ, and if you don't hope to have a share in his resurrection, then life becomes meaningless. For everything we live for outside of Christ and apart from Christ ends the moment of death. You've heard that sometimes secularized people, our friends and neighbors, they like to pretend that death is natural, part of the circle of life. But there is nothing natural about death. Death is the punishment for our sins. God never intended our body and soul to be severed from one another when he created us. And yet that is what death does. Contrary to God's original intentions, death tears the body and the soul apart in a way that we find frightening. And because the devil is a bully, and because he knows this, he exploits this. Actually, the devil causes people either to ignore death or obsess on it. We either ponder death too much or too little. The Bible says the devil holds us in fear throughout our entire lives by the thought of our own demise. Most people forget they are going to die until it's too late to repent, and they panic in the moment of death. Or else they obsess on death too early, and they sort of fold their tent, so to speak, and they fail to accomplish all those things in life that God had intended for them. Just think about it, just for a moment. Is there any bigger bully anywhere on this earth than either death or the devil? Is there anyone or anything out there that has the potential to make your life as miserable and as meaningless than as these two thugs? Yes, death and the devil delight in tormenting us sinners with thoughts of death and judgment. Well, I want to tell you something. Death and the devil did their very worst on the day that Christ died. I mean, Good Friday was a banner day for bullies. On that day, death and the devil attempted to destroy the very Son of God. And it's almost a little humorous to Christians that death and the devil mistook Christ's passivity as their victory when Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to the cross for our salvation. And so by faith and in the light of Easter, we know that God intended everything that happened to Jesus on Good Friday to work out for our own eternal good. But without that benefit of our hindsight, everything that happened on the day that Christ died reminded his disciples only of death. Think about it. Death and the devil must have seemed to them completely victorious as his sobbing followers went and laid him in the tomb. What the disciples saw of Jesus' arrest and of his trial and of his public scourging and of his crucifixion intimidated them so much that they scattered and hid for fear that they might too face the same punishment as Jesus. And why? Because man fears death. When Mary Magdalene arrived at the tomb early on that first Easter morning, she thought the bullying hadn't stopped, that it wasn't over. For even after the brutal and bloody treatment that the Romans and the Jewish leaders had imposed upon Jesus, that it demonstrated they were bullies, now there was another problem. They had first bullied Jesus by charging him falsely, by mocking him irreverently, by whipping him unmercifully, and ultimately by crucifying him. But now Mary imagined that they had taken that meanness one step further. That they had removed his lifeless body from its tomb, and out of sheer hatred, they were hiding his body from her and the other disciples. Mary instinctively did what people do when they find themselves being bullied. After she was bullied, she ran as fast as she could to find the solace and support of others who she knew loved her and cared for her. She told Peter and the other disciples what she thought had happened, how these hateful and hurtful men had taken the body and hidden it. Mary couldn't think of anything more cruel or heartless or senseless than to murder Jesus and then hide his body so that he could not receive a dignified burial. Now no one could solemnly mourn over his body to deal with the grief of their loss. And so for Mary, it was as if death and the devil were still bullying Jesus and his followers. As many do when they feel threatened or picked on, Mary ran home so that she could get her big brothers and bring them back with her. That's an age-old strategy to tell the bully that you're going to return with your older brother. And they all ran back to the tomb together as a group, thinking that they could face this bully, death, together. It's also always a good strategy to stand your ground against a bully. And so they went back to the tomb together, thinking that they would face the grim reality of this death together. But what they didn't know was that their brother had already faced down these bullies. By his resurrection, our brother, according to his human nature, and our Lord, according to his divine nature, had already landed the knockout punch. He had delivered the death blow to death and to the devil. Occasionally, these two, death and the devil, still frighten us Christians. But ever since the day of Jesus' resurrection, they have no real power over us. My friends, they have fallen. But Jesus is still standing after he has defeated every bully on the block. In fact, our Lord Jesus, now that he has conquered death and the devil, forever stands at God's right hand and he makes intercession for us. That is, he speaks favorably to God his Father on our behalf. Jesus is there, right there at the right hand of God, to see that no one bullies us and that nothing can separate us from God's love for us in Christ. So that we can say to ourselves that whatever bullies in life may come along, whether danger or peril or sword, or things present or things to come, there is nothing now that can hurt the Christian. For just like Jesus, who went through death on his way to being exalted, so we too will pass from death to life. As the hymn so marvelously puts it, we know that we will live because our Redeemer lives. As long as we believe in his death and resurrection, we have nothing to fear from death and the devil. For Jesus had put that pair of bullies in their place. You know, when someone is safely out of a bully's reach, it's customary for him to turn around and say something like, "Nee, nee, nee, nee. You can't catch me." And that's what Easter's about. Easter means we're safe. Easter means we're out of the reach of death and the devil. We can taunt these bullies as St. Paul did when he said, "Ho, grave, where is your victory? Ho, death, where is your sting?" For the victory belongs to us through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, because he is risen indeed. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds from all who would assail you and bully you.